Remaker's Mark, Episode 40, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in Episode 40, where we are discussing the cult classic, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite Kiss member or song?
Fabulous Shemp.
It's like how you find your like porn star name, your mood and your favorite Kiss song.
Featuring Fabulous Shemp.
Oh, I like it. Nice.
You guys want to start? You guys want to start a band called Fabulous Shemp?
I like it. It's got potential. It's got a beat and we can dance to it.
We might have a possibility for a gig even.
Yes, we do.
For Funny Fabulous that. Shemp.
Yep. And how. Speaking of, Jeremy Nilsson, how are you doing tonight? And what is your favorite Kiss member or song?
I am lovely. And I'm going to go with song. My favorite Kiss song is God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
Oh, nice.
As That's seen in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Originally written by Stryper?
No.
Petra.
That's
Petra.
What?
Really? Yep.
It was a Christian band that pulled that one, and they bought, they traded rights to two different songs or something like that was the
something
story,
like that,
I believe.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Epic.
Crazy.
Not great.
Good job, Petra. I never thought I would say that on a podcast. Yikes.
I mean, everywhere else but a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Lee Hotter Than Hell, how are you doing tonight? And what is your favorite Kiss member or song?
I'm great. And a song that I go back to a lot is on their debut album, and it's called Strutter.
That's a good song.
It's simple. It's drums, two guitars, bass, and vocals. It's really simple, and it kind of rocks.
Nice. That's what Kiss did best. In spite of all of the grandeur, they just wrote good, simple pop rock songs, which is great.
I would like to make an addendum. God Gave Rock and Roll to You was originally recorded by Argent, and then covered by Petra, and then Kiss.
Yikes. Wow.
But Petra beat him to it?
By 14 years.
Wow. Crazy. Well, there you go. Thank you, Wikipedia, Andy.
Wixipedia. Good.
Wixipedia, there you go. Nice. Wow, you are much more clever than I. And that's okay. Mark, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite Kiss member or song?
I'm great, thanks. And I'm going to go with the song on this one, and that will be Shout It Out Loud.
Nice.
Excellent.
Good one. It's got those sweet harmonized guitar licks.
Yeah. We do love those, right, Andy?
Yes. Oh, Andy, sorry.
Andy's I said, muted. Right, Andy?
Sorry.
Still learning with enthusiastically. Yes. Yes, we do.
Andy got a new computer, so he's learning the ropes.
I promise I said yes.
We accept that. That is just fine. My name is Kyle Delahunt. I will be your host once again this fine evening, and I'm going to totally cop out and say rock and roll all night and party every day, mostly just because we played it in Thupa Group, which is the cover band that we all have played in some way, shape, or form throughout time, and it was fun. I enjoyed that. It's one that I could sing and play at the same time very well, which says much about the guitar line as much as it does about the song, so can't go wrong with that. Before we move along to our discussion of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, Mark, do you have any recommendations that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes. For my recommendation, I'm going to recommend a game this time.
Mm.
I confess ignorance as to whether or not it's in the Google Play Store, but but you can get it for iOS, and it's a nice little mashup of two little niche genre thingies. The game is called Avengers Academy. And it's free, but it's easy to drop a lot of money on in-game purchases. But it's basically a Sims game where you start off with a couple of Avengers that are basically like young Avengers in school, totally messing with the timelines in the comic books. But and you get to, you know, send them off to different missions and things. And sometimes the missions are go destroy Hydra, and sometimes they're go hang out at the pool hall. And then you get to eventually recruit more Avengers through missions, and so it's a big time suck, and I think it's simple and it's charming and it's a lot of fun.
Do they have things where like your power goes down 20% because you have to take your shirt off at said pool hall. No, wait, that would be a pool. Never mind. Take that back. I was just thinking of like what could make an Avengers person feel awkward, and taking their shirt off would probably be.
I think the Tony Stark in this game would take his shirt off in the pool hall, but that would get that would probably give him a bonus.
Yeah, fair.
He's that
fair
kind enough of guy.
Nice. Cool. I will check that out. I have not played that.
I do see that it is available in the Android store as well.
Sweet.
Excellent.
Cross-platform for the win. Groovy. Well, now let's move on to our discussion of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Andy, do you want to tell us about the summary of the film and our history with it?
How can man adequately capture the majesty of this film? The park is run by a misunderstood creator of animatronic automatons. He is at odds with the park's manager because of budgets and research funding. But hark! Low on the horizon, the minstrels Kiss arrive to perform for the masses and verily save the park. But ho! The misunderstood manufacturer of man-like mannequins decides that no one can understand or control him, and only he has the wherewithal to rule the park, nay, the world.
For all our listeners out there, Andy spelled park with an E at the end.
He did. Well, well played. Good job. That was very well done. I feel like that was like a Giacomo-esque presentation. So we need to jump back to our, oh crap, what was the name of that movie?
The Court Jester.
Court Jester. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. I know. Sorry. That was at least a month
for
ago.
For shame.
Okay, I'll see our for shame picks for that. Nice. All right, cool. And then we've got some history with this as well. Mark, this was your pick. Do you want to tell us about your history with it and why you chose it for this fine episode?
Absolutely. Amidst all the classic cinema that we've discussed on this podcast, I have long history with this piece of crap. this is I was aware of this movie from a very early age because my older brother, who actually owned a copy on VHS. But yeah, he was a big Kiss fan. He introduced them to me, and this movie was just so entertaining. If you have the sort of palate for it, and even as a youth, as a tender youth, I knew that this was a piece of crap, and I thought it was funny. So coming into our podcasting years, you know, we have a certain age, I thought this would be a great one for this podcast because, well, it's just terrible, you know, and so it's basically open season on remaking it. We can do anything we want, and anything would be an improvement. One point especially that I thought would be really interesting is that this movie does something that's really pretty unique in cinema, and that is it uses actual personalities, you know, people playing themselves, literally themselves, maybe fictionalized versions, yes, because they don't actually have superpowers, but they actually are playing themselves in this movie and in the leading roles. Then that part is pretty unique. I mean, there are cameos all over, but it's a pretty slim segment of Hollywood that actually features real people playing themselves in the lead role. And so I thought that'd be an interesting thing to try to remake. So pretty much it'll be a fun part one and an engaging thought project of a part two.
Nice. I like it. That is significantly higher brow than the film itself, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, right? It's interesting to shoot so high and fall so low.
Indeed. All right, and Lee, you had some history with this as well.
Yeah, I actually remember watching this when it originally aired in 1978, which tells you how old I am.
24.
Yeah. But I was only 4 years old at the time, so I didn't really retain much of it. I could only remember, for years, I could only remember the part where Gene Simmons crashes through the brick wall and beats up all the security guards. And I remember being really confused as to why he was doing that, because I thought he was supposed to be a good guy.
Don't worry, they explain it.
Yeah, I know. And then I didn't see it again until it aired again, like 8 years later, and I could understand it a little bit more. And I, you know, I was very much a Kiss fan when I was a kid, so I loved it, but I do realize how terrible it is. And I find it very funny that the band members all think it's like completely laughable and stupid. I think Paul Stanley in an interview said somebody was giving him like questions, like quick fire questions. And they said, "You're up late at night, you're flipping through the channels, and Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park is on one of the channels. What do you do?" And he said, "Cringe."
So yeah. And you know, Kiss has they've done a lot of shenanigans in their time. And I think this movie is their great shame.
Oh yeah.
Which I think that's a bold statement.
They would agree.
Not that I want to contest that, but I recently saw a clip where Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons were giving a pep talk to the arena football team that they sponsor and have emblazoned their jerseys with the Kiss logo. Just let that sink in for a minute.
And sunk. There's also the era of Kiss that was sans makeup, which I'm surprised that might be their most cringeworthy time. Even more so than this, because that was bad. Nobody wants to see Kiss without their makeup. I mean, nobody. So as usual, in part one, we are going to be recasting the movie. In this case, we have sort of one major role and then three minor roles. And of course, the major role is that of the band Kiss. So, you know, that's pretty major. We are going to be doing this a bit differently than we have. We've done it a couple times in the past, but we are going to be recasting this in a lot of different ways, potentially. So you could recast each individual role. So there are Catman, Space Ace, the Demon, and Starchild. Or you could recast it with a whole band. Or you could really do lots of different things. So we are all going to be announcing our various picks all together at the same time. So we'll be announcing what band or actors, etc., we will be picking. So first up is Lee. So Lee, do you want us to tell us a little bit about Kiss and what your picks were for this role?
Sure. You wanted the best, you got the best. Here they are, the hottest band in the world, Kiss. Not great actors, though. Scheduled to play some shows at an amusement park, the band members find themselves caught up in a strange mystery involving a missing person, robots, and of course, a mad scientist.
Of course a mad scientist.
Yes. Can't have all the other stuff without a mad scientist. So since we pretty much had no limits to this one. Mine is a little out there. I didn't cast actors and I didn't cast a specific band. And I went with an all-female lineup, but they are all musicians. So for Catman, or Catwoman in this case, I picked Nico Case. Nice. I don't know if she's a drummer, but I don't care.
She probably could do it.
Yeah.
I think she could play Kiss
yeah.
or anything.
Yeah.
And she's, if you've ever heard her in interviews, she is hilarious. So I think she would bring a lot of
She could sing like the devil.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she could bring a lot of comedy to it. For Space Ace, I picked, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Orianthe.
Oh.
She's a lead guitarist for Alice Cooper's band currently.
Nice.
And she's an amazing guitarist.
She is. Yeah.
Plus, she can
really
sing.
I saw them with Motley Crue, and they ruled. They were so good.
She's pretty awesome. For the Demon, wanted someone a little more mysterious, so I picked Emily Haynes from Metric.
Nice.
Wow.
And I just wanted to see her like very stoic and quiet and yet be able to stare right through you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Star Child, or sort of the leader, I guess you could say the leader of the band, I picked Liz Phair.
That's awesome.
Nice. Man, that is a good...
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you very much. Yep.
So do you have a vision of how it would fit in the plot of things, or would it just be a straight up, like, right into these roles kind of place?
I don't know if they would... be, you know, I don't know if there would be makeup and all that kind of stuff. But I envision like a fictional band of some kind, and focusing more on the story and less on, you know, the popularity of Kiss itself.
Okay.
So I envision them starting, you know, just being in a completely different band and having that folded into the story.
Okay.
So, but I like Yeah, but I like the idea of having real musicians in those roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to know, do they have superpowers?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know.
I could see it being a band that then has something happen at the park, and then they become those characters and get superpowers.
Possibly.
That sounds cheesy in a way that sounds kind of awesome to me.
It's, you know what? It's cheesy, but not as cheesy as this movie, so I think it can still work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
It's good Chelsea point. And the Pussycats.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yep.
Something
yep,
like totally. That.
With superpowers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nice. Yeah, that is my all-female lineup, and let's move on to Jer.
Well, walk with me a moment.
So it's Aerosmith?
It is not Aerosmith.
It's always
although
a journey with you.
You're on the right track. My remake, I envision as having a different band play Kiss or a reasonable facsimile of Kiss in a similar setting of a park. However, in my remake, it's animated.
Awesome.
Oh.
And it's about 8 to 15 minutes long.
Ooh.
And
that's a music video?
Similar.
Like Guns N' Roses video?
It's a short film on YouTube. Maybe it's done by Flash. But the members of Kiss are played by their counterparts, Larry, Gary, Perry, and Mary Pallarincini, who make up the band Limousine.
I don't even know who that is.
Limousine is a fictional band from Homestar Runner and homestarrunner.com who had a short-lived animated television show called It's Limousine, But They're in Space. And I'm envisioning that this will be very similar to that cartoon. In real life, the members of Limousine are played by the brothers Chaps, the Chapman brothers, who created Homestar Runner, as well as some of their friends. They have put out an actual album, and they were on Guitar Hero 2 singing their song Trogdor, and they were also in another video game, I think maybe the original Guitar Hero, where they played Because It's Midnight. So they are actually a legitimate rock and roll band. And they would make this better than it is.
Yeah, that's a good vision.
I would vote for that so hard if only my idea wasn't better.
So Limousine as Kiss in an animated version of this story.
Nice.
But I think you're actually mispronouncing the name, Jer.
Limousine.
That's better.
Thanks.
Nice. Good pick. I like
that's,
that.
That's me. We had free reign to go left field. I went very left field.
It. Nice work. And I like your vision of it being short, like a short version. That's a good call.
Yeah, I want to see. I want this to be a short film, like most of the Homestar Runner movies, 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes long. I think that could encapsulate the plot, just like a Scooby-Doo episode, which from whence it came. All right, Andy, what's your better idea?
So I think it's great, Jer, that you actually went with that discussion that we had. I'm actually using your original idea from the Midnight Run episode. I'm actually recasting this as a Scooby-Doo episode. And it will also be probably shorter than an actual Scooby-Doo episode. I think 15 minutes is also stretching it a bit. In the place of Kiss, however, I cast the Blue Man Group.
Wait, what?
So just bear with me. So instead of having Kiss try to be anything but Kiss, I'm having the Blue Man Group. So A, I'm saving us on voice talent actors because they're mute. And then they're going to be able to do all their shenanigans. They may have superpowers. And it seems like, sure, why wouldn't they? The Blue Man Group.
I think the Blue Man Group probably has had superpowers this whole time.
See? Yeah, it'll be a short and sweet little plot, and the Blue Man Group will be funny and probably help to solve some crimes.
Would they all be percussionists? Do you foresee this being like a rock band.
I perceive. I imagine them to find many situations in which they can start to bang on things in kind of a mesmerizing rhythm. I also imagine that there will be a scene in which the mad scientist is wearing some sort of helmet, and the Blue Man Group members will take turns, you know, hitting it like a drum, like in that one scene where the Ewoks were playing the Stormtrooper helmets.
That could feel reference. Going along with the Three Stooges in tone. Does that sound what you're thinking, Andy?
I think saying Three Stooges in tone is not inaccurate, and I was also not very far away from Scooby-Doo in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's right. You said Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
So would this be animated then?
Oh, very much.
Okay.
Very much.
Two animated versions. Yes. That's fascinating.
So casting Blue Man Group would be easy on the colorist as well.
Exactly.
I'm imagining that there will be some sort of fight scene or superpower where one of the Blue Man Group actually shoots ping pong balls out of his mouth.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Let's go.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Once good Foley.
Well done.
Once again.
Nice. Born Foley artist, man. Good work.
All right. Mark, top limousine or Blue Man Group?
Well, we'll see. For this one, I wanted to go the route of replacing Kiss with another band completely, and that band, you know, being the, you know, the feature in the film as themselves. Man, I had so many ideas. If I were trying to match the tone of the original film completely, I would have gone Guar meets the Phantom of the Park, but I didn't.
I would love that.
If I wanted to go super campy, I thought about Psy meets the Phantom of the Park or LMFAO meets the Phantom of the Park. Slightly less campy, but potentially super awesome would have been Wu-Tang meets the Phantom of the Park.
Oh my God.
But yes. In the end, I actually decided I wanted to see what it'd be like to try to make it more serious and actually kind of a for real horror movie. And so I'm going with Slipknot meets the Phantom of the Park.
The Phantom of the Park runs away.
I'm actually kind of thinking I'd like Slipknot to be creations. Like they would be automatons, or at least they would start out that way.
Nice.
And it will be directed by Rob Zombie.
It crossed my mind.
I could totally see that.
It did cross my mind. But yeah, so I mean, I think this is a group that is a really nice analog for Kiss. You know, they're costumed shock rockers. It just happens to be, you know, 25 years later. For those of you who don't know the group, it's an interesting group. It's a metal band. You know, metal guys might call them new metal, but the point is that they're really hard. It's also a 9-piece band. You got your two guitars, bass, drums, vocalist, but you also have, two DJs, one on turntables and one on samples, and you have two percussionists. So it's a really complex and nuanced sound, and it's a big sound. And again, really hard. That's what I'm thinking for this one is Slipknot in the role of Kiss. Or taking the place of Kiss, rather.
Nice.
Okay, Kyle, hit me.
That is a really good pick. That scares the hell out of me just on,
thank you,
in principle. That would be awesome. I decided to go somewhere in between where Jer and Andy went and where you went, Mark. So I'm the happy medium between the two. If you gentlemen would rewind back, and with the rest of you listeners, take a trip along with us, following Jer's lead here. When we were doing the pre-production document for this, so we always do a meeting to just sort of like plan out what we're going to talk about lightly, right? So to kind of script it, but not exactly what we're going to say. In describing how I thought we could cast this, like, you know, talking about we could cast it with a band, we could cast it with actors, et cetera, basically what we said at the beginning, I used an example in there that I did it totally jokingly. And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Do you all remember, Mark, don't say this because we texted about it, but do you all remember the example that I gave in the pre-production notes?
I do.
Lee, do you want to announce my pick for me?
I think I do anyway.
Okay, go for it.
I think it's Weezer.
Oh, no, that was close. Somebody else said that. My example that was in the pre-production document is a Korean metal pop band.
Japanese,
my apologies. Japanese metal pop
baby
band
metal?
Called Baby Metal.
my God, I love it so much. I love it so much.
They are, it's three like mid-teenage female singers doing sort of choreographed dances and singing in a very pop style, fronting a really good, like, hard metal band. The chops are fantastic. And it, you know, the music is just really driving and really hard. And then there'll be chorus breaks or vocal breaks that are just like any kind of Japanese, Korean pop music that you would ever want to hear. So it's just this weird juxtaposition. And I thought the movie could be that in a big way. So take these people that are maybe on a tour of the nation. They end up in this like weird park. You know, so they played Madison Square Garden, and then they play like whatever park this is in, you know, Cleveland, I guess. I don't know. but, you know, so all of a sudden, like, whoa, what is going on here? So they're out of their element. You know, they probably don't speak a lot of English to start with. So my idea was that they have to, you know, overcome the evil. And part of the evil was their band. So if I'll include a picture of their band as well. And I included it in the document that we will pick and vote on, but they all dress up in different things. Sometimes they're dressed up kind of like skeletons, but mostly they have like flowing white robes and they have kind of kabuki makeup. So they're already pretty darn creepy and they all look a little bit different. So I think I would start with the park going bad and then having that take over the band. And then they'll basically recover each band member and have them fight along with them with their instruments, kind of, you know, Josie and the Pussycat style. So yeah, baby metal and their band kicking butt in the park through beautiful, beautiful music. Huzzah.
I love it so much.
Thank you. I texted Mark. I was like, I'm having a really hard time not picking baby metal. He's like, do it. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely will. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're good. I'll include somewhere in here, you might have already heard it on the final track, but I'll include a little baby metal in there, a little Gimme Chocolate, which is a amazing, ridiculous song. All right, so that was our pick for the major role of the band Kiss. So Lee went with four singer actresses, Nico Case, Orianthe, Emily Haynes, and Liz Phair. Jer went with the fictional animated band Limousine with Mary Pallavicini, Gary Pallavicini, Perry Pallavicini, and Larry Pallavicini. Andy went with the all-too-real Blue Man Group. Great choice. Mark went with Slipknot, and I went with Baby Metal. Man. That might be the
best single set of picks ever.
Yeah, that is one of the best paragraphs I've ever had the opportunity to say out loud. That was nice.
See, I knew this film would be worth it.
Indeed. Now moving on to the minor characters, the first of which is Calvin. Originally played by Carmine Caridi, Calvin is, I suppose, the COO of the titular park. He's all about the bottom line and is taking aggressive moves to keep the park afloat, including both hiring Kiss to play and firing the brains behind the operation, causing him and his animatronic terror squad to go rogue. Worst ideas guy ever. I didn't really think too much about this character. I basically just wanted somebody that was kind of like, it seemed like he was well-intentioned and could sort of try to sell that, but deep down inside wasn't a great guy. And I have no idea how I landed on this guy. It was mostly just that I haven't seen him in a while. So I picked Judd Hirsch. What the hell?
Oh, there you go.
I got a what the hell Judd Hirsch pick.
We need one of those every now and then.
No, exactly. I think he's coming back in the new Independence Day movie. Yep. I think that's coming down the road. So we'll see him in a little bit. But I thought, you know, I haven't seen Judd Hirsch in a while.
What the hell,
so
Judd Hirsch?
I like minor characters because it gets to, you know, bring out those people that you don't get to see too often. So yeah, Judd Hirsch, what the hell?
I like it.
Thank you.
I think that should go on Judd Hirsch's business card.
What the hell, Judd Hirsch? It could be said as like kind of like Judd Hirsch, what the hell? Or what the hell, Judd Hirsch? Maybe there's two different sides of the business card. He presents different sides depending on his mood.
It's all about the punctuation.
It's true. It's very important.
Free consultation? No. Money down.
Money down. Oh, Lord, nice. Andy, on to you.
On to Melissa, originally played by Deborah Ryan, the one, the only. Melissa is in love with Sam, who is just dreamy until he becomes an automaton, a dreamy automaton. She seems pretty good at getting access to off-limits places, and for some reason, Kiss sings Beth to her to try to make her feel better, I guess. So, going back to my Scooby-Doo theme for this one, and requiring at least some vocal talent, I chose the amazing vocal talents of Miss Judy Greer.
Yes.
Nice. I thought you were going Jonathan Winter.
But. Ooh, that would have been good. But Judy Greer is an actress well-known for many roles. From voice acting, particularly, she is in Archer. She plays... Oh, I should have looked up her character's name from Archer.
It's Cheryl or Carol.
Or Shirlene.
Or Shirlene. Oh, yeah, Shirlene. Yeah, exactly. but she's also played in many live-acting roles. She was Kitty in the Arrested Development series. She was in The Descendants with George Clooney, among other things. I think she was in Jurassic World. I love Judy Greer. I think she's fantastic in everything that she does.
And I do too.
And I think she would, just knock the role of Melissa out of the park with the Phantom of the Park.
well done. Well integrated.
I guess. So, Mark, tell us of Abner.
Okie dokie. Originally played by Anthony Zerbe. Abner Devereaux built this park, see? He's a scientist, and he needs his research and development funds. This is my impression of the acting in this movie. he built the animatronics in the park by controlling the minds of living things, like some sort of scientist. He adores his creations with paternal love, but abducting and mind-controlling them is slightly evil, and turning them into a slave army is at least medium evil. So it's up to the biggest rock band in the world to stop him for some reason.
As you do.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you'll cast your memories back to my picks for the band Kiss, I had said that I wanted this my remake to be a little bit more serious and actually kind of a for real horror movie. And so I thought that the role of Abner Devereaux, the mad scientist, would play a pretty critical part in making this film just feel unsettling and creepy and wrong. And so I picked Tilda Swinton.
Nice.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. We know her from so many things.
Yeah.
And she's so amazing. But, like if you take that icy stare from when she was the White Queen in that one C.S. Lewis thing.
Narnia. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, in The Stories of Narnia Land, that movie. It take her weirdness from Snowpiercer, if you recognized her even.
Yeah.
And kind of maybe the kind of greasiness from the, I think she was the Angel Gabriel in the Constantine film with Keanu Reeves. I love everything that Tilda Swinton does. Mm-hmm. And if I want this film to feel just not right, I think she'll do it perfectly.
Yeah.
She is England's Meryl Streep.
The terrifying Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. And seeing her alongside Slipknot terrifies me in all the right ways.
Yeah, me too.
I could see her manufacturing Slipknot, basically, like making them out of... I don't want to think about what, but out of things that aren't right.
Trails.
Yeah, all of the above. Yep. Spikes and masks and people.
Yeah.
Mostly people.
By the way, I had a really, really tough time at trying to decide the tone that I wanted to go for in my remake. And so I'll read to you just a short list of candidates for the Abner Devereaux role if it were a sillier tone.
Mm-hmm.
Crispin Glover. Christopher Walken. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, nice.
Gary Busey.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
Like all crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I wanted to bring some element of authenticity there.
Nice. I really like the Crispin Glover. That's solid.
Yeah.
That's
he was the first one that I thought of, but that I thought everything that I wanted from him, Tilda Swinton can do it better.
Yeah.
I would love to see a two-headed Abner Devereaux with Gary Busey and Charlie Sheen.
Oh my God. That's a thing of nightmares right there. Like, you think Slipknot is bad? Two-headed Gary Busey, Charlie Sheen machine.
That's the name of my new metal band.
Gary Busey and Charlie Sheen machine. Nice.
Playing with Fabulous Shemp.
That could be a Kiss song, actually. Charlie Sheen machine. It's got a Kiss-like ring to it. Nice. All right, well, that wraps it up here for the first part of our discussion of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast or blog on the Mathis Hard Network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you'll find show notes as well for this episode and all of our other podcast episodes. Show notes are also attached to the podcast file that you are listening to right now. That includes links to actors, actresses, movies, and other links discussed here in this episode. You can find us on both Twitter and Facebook at usernames mathishardnet. Our next episode will be released on April 25th when we will be discussing the plot and filmmaking changes we would make in our remake of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Gentlemen, that was really fun, and I have to say we knocked it out of the park. That was really good. We went weird, as I think this movie deserves, so here I am, a brother in weirdness with you. May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Yeah!